guys, I'm Rowan.
Hi guys, I'm Christy.
And you're listening to Ticket A42 on AussieTheatre.com.
Hi there and welcome to Ticket A42, Australia's leading theatre industry podcast produced by Matt Edwards at AussieTheatre.com. I'm your host, John O'Hara, and once a month I sit down with someone fun, interesting and successful from our wonderful Australian industry to talk about what they're working on, their past experiences, and of course, they take the Ticket A42 test. Now look, this month is an extra special one for lots of reasons. It's the first time I've done the podcast since I finished Wicked, and I'm back in Melbourne and finding my feet and what life means without Wicked. So far, so good. It's just taking a little time adjusting. And also, I have not one, but two guests this month. Now, to me, they're just my good mates, two of my bestest. In fact, he just cooked us all dinner in freezing cold Melbourne on his only night off from Strictly Ballroom because she has spent the whole day on set filming an upcoming TV project. But to the industry, they are both incredible, successful and award-winning performers in their own right, as well as being one of the most glamorous-looking couples ever. And they're about to appear together in the upcoming production company staging of Nice Work, if you can get it, this August. So please welcome my July guests, Rowan Brown and Christy Whelan Brown. Hello.
That's the nicest introduction I've ever had.
Oh, I'm glad. So guys, look, as I said, you're about to do Nice Work, if you can get it, for the production company. Why don't you tell us a little about that?
Do you want to take this, babe?
Go
or
on.
Should I? I've tried to explain it before. It's kind of essentially a screwball comedy. I play Jimmy Winter, who is this young, wealthy playboy who's getting married for the fourth time. And
to me.
To Christy, Eileen Evergreen, the world's most famous modern interpreted dancer. and, yeah, I you know, it's during the time of Prohibition. So there's bootlegging going on and we meet this this kind of tomboy, which is Esther Hannaford's character, Billy, who is a bootlegger. And you know, through a whole multitude of experiences and things, they fall in love and come up against it all. And, yeah, comedy ensues.
And there's a little plot twist for us as well at the end, which is funny.
There's always a good plot twist.
So you're not playing, initially anyway, you're not playing opposite each other in this one, are you?
No, not really.
Well,
Like, I'm a supporter of Rowan. Rowan and Esther are the leads, and I'm basically their backup dancer.
Amazing.
Yes. Finally, you're a backup dancer.
And it's not the first time that you've worked together. So how do you find working together?
This, I think, is the sixth time we've worked together.
We've been very fortunate.
So we either work in different states or in at different jobs and never see each other, or we work together and we literally wake up, breakfast, drive to work, lunch, dinner, toilet, like we can't get away from each other and we want to kill each other, so it's one or the other.
No,
isn't
but
it?
I mean, you're just doing that for comedy, but
that's what you think.
No, but I mean, the great part about working together is, you know, we both respect each other's work. Well, I know I respect her work. I'm not so sure how she feels about mine. But we both respect each other's work, and especially in these instances where it is, you know, the production company, two weeks rehearsal. This is our third, I think, or even maybe fourth together. It's so tight, so, you know, you have such limited time with the director that you really rely on somebody who you trust in the room also. So Christy and I are really kind of there to help each other and support each other. So, I, you know, that's I rely on that as much as the director. Sorry, Roger.
Well, I've witnessed that because I did Sing in the Rain with you guys.
Yes.
And I saw you work together and you are very much there for each other. It's pretty special.
Except there was that one day, John.
Are you going to be able
I do remember that time. I do remember, yeah. And you, what did you say? Rowan went to catch
I
the
did,
train.
No, I did something really funny. I made this really funny choice and everyone laughed and it was like, yay.
It
and
didn't
then,
serve the scene.
That's what Rowan
I'm
said.
Still hanging on to it. It did not serve the scene.
Rowan was the only one who felt that way, and so I made him catch the train home that day.
Again for comedy. Okay. She just stuffed me in the boot.
No, it was a little bit awkward for all of us, but it was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny.
It was funny.
And so, yeah, speaking about, you said you've kind of done four production company shows together.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys have worked heaps for the production company. I've worked heaps for the production company too, and it's an incredible, you know, environment to work in. Why do you guys keep going back?
I mean, they're such an amazing company to work for, and they're so supportive, and you get to do shows that you wouldn't normally get to do in the long run.
Yeah.
Rachel, Ken, and John, and Jean are just so wonderful to work for. They're so supportive and loving and caring.
They care about you.
They care about everybody. You know, like, I worked with them on Anything Goes in 2001. And I was, you know, third dancer from the left at the back. And they cared just as much about me as they cared mm-hmm. about the principals. And that's what's lovely, because you don't work for people who, you know, there's normally a hierarchy or system and you've got to kind of earn that. But they believe that just working for them, they're so thankful that you can help them put on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love working for them because I always have the best time. Like, I've rarely played a sort of scary, huge character like Rowan has done a couple of times, but I normally play sort of the fun, so it sort of feels like just a party. Literally, that's how it feels, just like a really good time.
Yeah. Amazing. And so you guys are married.
What? When did that happen?
You guys are married. So, like, how do you... Let's talk a little bit about how you go about... Because you're the first couple that I've interviewed on the podcast, so
thank you very much.
That's exciting. Mm-hmm. How do you go about navigating, you know, a healthy relationship in a really competitive industry? That must come with its challenges sometimes.
It does. I mean, it's hard. It's, you know, like there's times where it's really difficult. As Christy said before, we either work together a lot for, you know, intense periods of time, or just like last year when Christy was on Rocky Horror and I was on Strictly and she was touring around Australia and there's our cat, in case you heard that. You know, she was touring around Australia. I was in Sydney rehearsing Strictly. You know, we would see each other for 36 hours every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
There was a time there where we didn't see each other for 6 weeks, both going through intense moments in our lives. But you just, you know, we love each other so much, and we work really hard in our communication and really kind of, you know, investing in our relationship. That's the most important thing to us. You know, aside from work, aside from anything else, our relationship is what keeps us level-headed, grounded, and, you know, we work at it. That's you know.
Yeah, I think that time that we spent apart, the honest truth is we got to the end of sort of, I think it was 9 months, and we were like, oh my God, we did so well, we made it, and we were throwing a party. But then you find there's a disconnect. If you've spent 9 months living apart from someone, there's a disconnect. So Rowan and I work at fixing that and making things better. So that's, as Rowan said, it's a priority for us because it's our happiness.
Yeah. And when you don't work together and you go and see the other one perform, that must be special.
Oh, God, yeah. It's thrilling.
Christy, why don't you tell me about what do you love about watching Rowan on stage?
The very first time I saw Rowan on stage, he came out. We'd just been dating for like a little minute, and he came out on stage and did this triple turn, like center front. He was like, boom, pew, 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 round in this triple. And I was like, oh my God. And I started doing, like, sitting up higher in my chair and doing what we call the swivel, which is what you do when you feeling smug about, like, that's my partner up there, and you do the swivel in your chair. You can't see me, but I'm doing it
right now.
She's
doing this for
me. And I think there have been so many times when I've watched Rowan and felt so proud, because Rowan has studied as a dancer from a young boy, but he taught himself how to sing and how to act along the way, you know, and he's had years and years of experience and watching people, but that's amazing, you know, and I really... Every time, since we've been together, every time I've seen him on stage, he grows and grows. And The last time when I saw him go on for Scott Hastings in Strictly Ballroom, that was just, it was just amazing to see how far he's come through just hard work and went up through the ranks. You know, some people get a break. Rowan literally was in the ensemble for like 10 years and worked his way up to this point, and that's amazing. It doesn't always happen that way.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
That's pretty nice.
What do you like about what did Christy on stage? How do you top that?
How do you top that? Christy, for me, her brilliance is in her understanding the script and making choices that a lot of people wouldn't make. And Christy makes things look easy, even though they're extremely difficult. And I think that that's the true testament of a great performer, when you see somebody create this thing that seems so effortless, and yet you know, like, Christy has the most incredible, intuitive, natural ability. Mm. And she's got the, you know, the voice of a bird, and I love watching her. She's, you know.
Chirp.
And the same thing, like, you know, we've watched each other grow. We've watched each other achieve some pretty awesome things. To be there and nothing makes you more satisfied or more proud than seeing
your partner. But we've also missed a lot of things too. We haven't been able to be there for things.
I thought you meant missed out on some things, like, because there's also that too, you know, like.
No, but yeah, like, there've been big moments in each other's careers when we couldn't be there.
Yeah. Like, I was really good those times you couldn't see me. That was probably my best show.
Hey, so are you critical of each other? Like, you've had a bit of a love fest here, but, like, if you, what if you don't like something?
I can't be anything but honest, and so I'll blurt it out. And it's, you know, because I also can't have a secret from Rowan. So straight away, like, I can't give him 5 minutes of, like, it was amazing, I love you. I'm like, here's the things that I didn't like.
But I'll also hold on to that. It might be, like, one thing where she goes, your inflection on this one line that you had 1,000 or 1,000,000 in a show, with this one inflection on one line, I just didn't buy it. It just stuck out to me, and I'll hang on to that. Yeah. But then it's like, you said I was terrible in that line.
But this is me, that not being able to keep anything for one time. It was my birthday coming up, and I found the present in the spare room before the actual birthday, before he'd given it to me. I found it, and I was like, oh my God, I hate that. So I had to call him and be like, I found the present and I hate it, because I just can't keep anything from
him. I don't even remember that.
It was that gold bag.
I remember the gold bag. I still remember you telling me about it. It was from Chapel Street,
remember? What? No, I took it back.
But we are critical. That also helps us too.
Because it means you're being honest as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I respect Christy's opinion, you know, I really do. She told me, but there's also times where she's told me something and I will argue the point with her as to why I, you know, when she does the same thing with me, I go, I don't understand why you did that. And it's always a work in progress.
We
want to better ourselves as artists. We want to better ourselves as people. We constantly hold a mirror up to each other to, you know, make us better people. And we try and be there for each other, whether it be, you know, tough love or amazing love.
Oh, tender love. So, Ro, you're still doing Strictly Ballroom up until you start Nice Work.
I've given myself a week off. But
then you go back and you're going to do the Brisbane season for Strictly. So, for a minute, let's just talk about that. What was it like working with Baz Luhrmann? That must have been
amazing. I mean, I don't know. Like, as Christy said, I trained as a dancer and I never would have guessed that I'd be working with somebody like Baz. I never would have guessed that I'd be standing in the same room and him kind of going, "Hey, Ro, when you do this, why don't we try this?" Or me going up to him with ideas. It was amazing, and on such an iconic Australian show, and it was a big, you know, big budget musical, doing it from the ground up, which is something I always wanted to do.
Yeah,
you know, I joined Boy From Oz like 2 months after they opened, so I never got to be. It was still changing at the time, but I never got to be there for the inception of it. So to be at this stage in my career and doing that and working with Baz and creating this role that, I guess you can't say you created it because it was already created for you, but you were creating it in a musical theatre sense where everything's, you know, highly dramatised. And that's what Baz wanted. He wanted big performances and you know, the great thing, he kind of let me do my own thing until, you know, like until it kind of shaped into what he wanted. So, I mean, it's been an incredible journey to work with CM and their whole design team and the team that they brought in. I mean, it's big business, you know. So, yeah. To come from being a little ballet dancer when I was four to this is, it's pretty cool.
Amazing.
Yeah. But also doing ballroom was frightening. And we were all terrible at it, like all of us. People who would, you know.
Because you've had like full ballroom lessons, haven't
you? Yeah, like we did the workshop in October, and then once you kind of signed your contract, it was like, you know, they were sending you off to classes, you were learning flamenco, you were learning ballroom. Then we did a week intensive before we started rehearsals with Baz, and the whole time we had, you know, world champion ballroom teachers taking us through stuff. And it's different to when you look at it and you know, we've all done gigs where you have to do waltz and stuff. It's nothing like you've ever done before.
Yeah.
It was just so weird and we were all terrible. It took us 3 months. So it's so hard because we've got a changeover now. There's new people coming into the show. We were just talking about it earlier.
Yeah.
Mitchell Fistrovich and Dion coming in, that they've got like 3 weeks, whereas we had 3 months, you know.
Yeah.
So for them it's like high intensity, learn it, do it, and you'll pick it up. And
yeah.
You know, I don't know when they're going to feel comfortable like we do now.
By the end of the Brisbane season.
By closing night.
Hey, and Christy, you and I just premiered our new shows at the Adelaide Festival, Cabaret Festival, which I did Dedications and you did Pure Blonde, which has now been renamed Show People. So let's talk about that for a sec. It was my first time at the festival, but not yours. And you didn't know it at the time, but you were such a source of strength to me because I was shitting myself and our little chats just helped me heaps. Did you find it as terrifying the second time round going to the festival? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
and exhilarating obviously, but terrifying.
Well, I don't know how exhilarated I felt this time. Like I think that it was the hardest. At the start of this year, I wrote down a list of what I wanted from the year, and I wrote a challenge. I wanted to be challenged, and that's what Dean gave me.
Yeah.
And I've never worked that hard on anything. Like Rowan can attest, I'm not one for working outside of work, like homework or.
Yeah.
And I actually said to Esther,
"Isn't that why I answer the question of how the script goes for the next gig? Because you haven't read it."
Oh, how dare you!
Oh, how very dare you!
But Esther, I was telling her, I'm like, I wake up in the night and I'm saying the lines in my head, like, this is awful. And she's like, yeah, that's what most people do on all jobs. And I was like, it just never happened to me. The work consumed me. It was scary. It was, so I wasn't exhilarated. I was more just probably relieved.
Yeah. And so why, like, you've had, it's such an interesting story, the story thus far of your show. So why the rename to Show People? What, just tell people about that.
Well, when you sign up for something like the Adelaide Cabaret Festival, you have to write the blurb for the show months in advance. And Dean hadn't written the show, but he'd written the blurb. And when he wrote the show, it was nothing like the blurb.
Mm-hmm.
So the poster and the blurb, people who came to see that were bitterly disappointed because they didn't get that. They got something completely different. And I was thrilled with what Dean came up with. He wrote 6 characters from the world of musical theatre. And I guess it's from a very truthful place, but it can come across dark or sad. But I think it's pretty on the money. And, so I forget the question.
Why did you rename it?
Oh, yeah, so obviously, we knew straight away that the marketing was all wrong. So we've decided to bring it back and change the name, and we've just done a new poster as well.
Yeah, which looks beautiful.
Thanks.
And it'll play for one night only at Chapel of Chapel. I'll say the details at the end of the interview, but and then obviously it'll have life after that.
Yeah.
And so people will know you from Cabaret as Britney Spears, doing your Britney Spears show. So were those experiences vastly different?
I think with Britney, the dialogue was never as much as Show People. Show People was a 75-minute show with just 10 minutes of singing.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of talking, if you think about someone talking for an hour. And Britney was 15 or 16 songs. So it was jam-packed with less talk and more songs. But also I was really thrown in the deep end. I got the script late in the piece. I just had to do it, you know. Yeah. But with show people, I've been working on it a long time. It was a huge, it was a longer build up, and I think that's probably worse sometimes. If you've got more time to think about something, it makes it scarier.
That's what I had trouble with, remembering the words to the monologues for dedications, not the songs, because I knew the songs.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just paraphrase the whole monologue.
But is that, but with the song, because you've got the melody and everything kind of guiding you, and especially because we saw your show, John, you know, like you jump from character to character, and I'm sure you, in rehearsals, you got to one character and went back to a monologue that you'd already done or you skipped forward, because that's hard. I mean, you you can get so caught up in it.
Yeah, it was tricky. I just, having now done it, and we did it in Sydney straight after as well, it feels amazing, but like if I'm honest, the week before we went to Adelaide, I just didn't know if I wanted to go anymore because I just didn't think I was going to be able to do it. You know?
But I think I said to you then that like they're the times, and I said this to Rowan as well, like going into something like Nice Work, which is such a huge role and can be daunting, that those times when you're afraid or daunted, the payoff is so much more when you do it.
When you take yourself out of the comfort zone, it's the rewards are huge. And, and you, when you push yourself to a, into a different hemisphere or sphere of you know, pushing yourself, it's...
Yeah, it's scary, but the payoff's better.
Yeah.
This is funny in terms of remembering words. After Britney, some nights people would, like, hover around on the stage and... people will be like, excuse me, can we help you? And they're like, oh, we're just looking for the teleprompter. Like, where did she get all the lines from? And they're like, no, she just remembered them. But people found that hard to believe, and I was like, that's hilarious. And then on show people, when people would say, how did you remember that? I was like, no, I actually don't know.
Yeah. I was the same on dedications. I got to a point where I couldn't go over it anymore because if I went over it, I'd freak myself out. And so I'd be like, there's a few parts in the show that I always kind of, my tongue gets in the way, and so I just need to say them before I do them. But other than that, I made a rule that I wasn't allowed to, like, do that whole monologue or otherwise I'll stuff it up.
But also, it's like, in a show that huge, you can't just go over it.
No.
Because it means an hour of going over. Yeah. And it's like, I'd say to Ron, will you go over my lines with me? It's like, you'd be yawning, like, nodding off.
It would be after just woken up. And you'd be like, I'm like, you're like, you're bored. You're bored already. No, I just woke up.
Oh, God. Hey, so now you both, and so have I, but we're not talking about me, we're talking about you. We've all been in the industry for a long while. We make a living from it.
Veterans, some may say.
A young veteran. Someone called me that. Mm-hmm. A young veteran of music theatre. I don't know how I felt about it.
As long as there was a young in it.
But so I've found this. Have you had to rethink things as just to kind of stay current as you get older and the goalposts change? Like,
yeah, I think the goalposts always change. When I first joined the industry, I would never, ever have ever suspected that I'd be doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Because all I ever cared about was being on stage and dancing. That's all it meant to me was doing that. And I think the further you get into that, you know, you start to... grow and learn, and then you start to realize, oh, I think I've got more in me than what I thought. And so the goalposts are always changing. So you do constantly, and you have to learn new skills as well to be able to keep yourself more employable. Now everyone can do everything, you know, so you kind of do.
And everyone's younger.
And everyone's
like
younger.
That thing, I look around and I'm like, I'm the old person here. When did that happen?
Yeah.
I feel for me that's exactly, I call it the lily pad as opposed to the goalposts, is that the lily pad, it just continues to, there's always a bigger one, a better one.
To step onto.
Yeah. And I like that. I like.
You step, I jump.
Yeah.
Jump, there's water everywhere. Hey! You just step gracefully.
Jeté.
I'm a dancer.
You jeté.
Yeah.
For me, it was like, I was talking about this, that it's like, all I want is to get into a musical. I just need to get into a musical. And then you get into one. It's like, I just need to do another one. Because you can't just do one. You've got to do a couple in a row. Okay, I just want a small role. Okay, I've done that. I just want one lead. And then, you know, it's just a then you've done all that. And then it's like, well, what else can I do? So it's, I feel like it's a constant search to be challenged and fulfilled.
And you need that too. Because otherwise you become stagnant. And you do see people who do the same thing over and over and over again.
And that makes some people happy. It's just
it does.
Not for
and
us.
But there's you has to have a certain kind of mindset. I remember Lisa Sontag when we were doing Boy from Oz and, you know, looking up to the older girls, and some of the older girls who were in the ensemble were very disgruntled that they weren't playing the roles. They were a bit older. They were in their 30s. And this is what I admired about Lisa, was that she looked and went, well, I want to be playing those roles. I don't want to be anything like those older girls. So even though I've just got my foot in the door in musical theatre, I'm going to take myself out of it and I'm going to go to Whopper because I want to learn the skills so that I don't become like that. And I mean, that's pretty big to finally, I'm sure she wanted to do it since she was a kid, and then remove yourself from that to not become bitter or jaded and stuff. And I think I really admire people who can do that. Mark Hill's doing the same thing with NIDA. Yeah. He's now at NIDA. You know, that's big steps because their goalposts have changed. They want to make sure that they have longevity within the industry past just being a dancer.
So... Hey, last question before we do the test.
Ooh, I'm nervous about this test.
Nah, it's good. It's fun. It's good. So, I don't know. How comfortable are you guys telling me about your first date? Because
a
good story. So,
which part?
Which one?
Nah, where Ro cooked you dinner in an apartment. That one? Is that your first date?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, I'll tell it because you'll spit something out.
Good story.
No, well, we have...
Because I feel like... He knew that he liked you, and like so many people wouldn't have the guts to do that.
No, so this is what happened.
So go from the start.
No, shut up. No, okay, listen, I'm telling the story. So Rowan and I were trying to hook up this date, and he kept asking for a lunch date, and I didn't want a lunch date. I didn't want to be seen in the daylight. I wanted some mood lighting. So I kept being like, I'm not free that day. How about the next night? And then he'd be like, I'm not free that night. How about the next day?
Which I wasn't. I wasn't like making stuff up.
Whatever you were. Anyway,
I'm very sociable.
We ended up going to this lunch on Brunswick Street, and I ordered the soup. I remember it was chicken and corn soup, and I was too embarrassed to eat any of it. I had like two spoonfuls.
And about five trips to the toilet just to make sure it wasn't you like on your chin.
Just so sad, you know. Corn in my teeth. And then he walked me back to my car and went for the full pash in broad
daylight.
Full
disclosure here, guys. Like, we had been talking for a very long time.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Like this first date, Rowan's a vulture going in for the kiss.
Well, you were.
I mean, Christy is beautiful, so as if you wouldn't. But
anyway, then, so I'd wanted the night date, and then as I left him, he sent me a message saying, are you free for dinner tonight? And he got this apartment and he cooked me sausages, I think.
I thought it was a car.
No, it was sausages and vegetables because we went to Coles together.
Yeah,
because
he hired an apartment. That's what I think is amazing, is that he hired...
Why are we talking about this?
Because we both lived with our parents, so he had to.
I was in the middle of tours, and so I was back in town for 2 weeks. So, I was back at mum and dad's.
And I was nervous, and everyone, well, John and Rowan know that I don't drink very much. I downed an entire bottle of wine, and when Rowan fell asleep, I had to get into a bath because I felt so sick from drinking a whole bottle of wine.
And the rest is history.
And the rest, then we got married.
Yeah, the next day.
We got married.
The next day.
There's
your fairy tale story.
There it is. Well, there you go. There's the hard stuff done.
Okay.
We're going to do the Ticket A42 test.
Yes. Do we get a buzzer? Like, or do we do individual
questions?
No,
well, I think you should both answer the questions.
Okay.
So the first is called The Kid in A42, so it references the name of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when did you know that you wanted to be in the big shows?
Mm.
Christy?
I think that the one that stands out for me was my dad took me to see Mamma Mia, and I was probably 18 years old, I guess.
So old.
No, not that I hadn't seen other musicals,
but that was the one.
But Mamma Mia wasn't that long ago. That's what I'm getting. Like, it was
2001. Yeah, I know, but and I had seen shows before, but he took me and we sat right up in the gods, like, Dad, where'd you get the tickets? And so
plastics.
And I remember the whole place was on their feet and I was crying and I was thinking, looking at the people on stage, thinking that is the best place in the world to be.
Yeah.
And that was my moment.
Wow. My moment, I probably had two because my focus changed. I grew up training as a ballet dancer. My mum and my grandma had season tickets to the ballet. So we would see at least 5 ballets a year. So since I was like, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7, they started taking me. We'd sit up in the box in the art center, which is, you know, if you're on the stages, it's up the balcony on the right. And so we used to sit there. It was just the 3 of us. And I'd look down and watch the orchestra all warm up. And then you'd see these beautiful ballet dancers coming out. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to do that. And I will do whatever it takes to become that. And then I started my first day at Victorian College of the Arts Secondary School, and my parents had bought tickets. I'd never seen a live musical ever before. We went and saw A Chorus Line at Her Majesty's Theatre here in Melbourne. And I'd seen the video and watched it, you know, but I just thought it was a video. I didn't know it was an actual musical show. And so I went and was sitting there, and my eyes are wide open in case you can't see that on the A40 tours. And I was just watching this show unfold and these dancers talking about their lives, and it was there in front of me. It wasn't in a little box, and I just went, I want to do that. And I remember Roy Dudley. I remember him playing Paul, and I followed his career. Like any show that I saw, I knew who he was on stage. Like he was like...
Who did he play in that one?
He was Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but he was in Beauty and the Beast. I saw him in Dancing Man. I saw him in quite a lot of things. But yeah, it was those two moments, and that's where the gear changed for me to go, I don't want to do ballet anymore. I want to be a jazz dancer.
He just didn't want people looking at his bum in tights all the time.
Yeah, no, but people still look at his bum.
True.
And then you did it. You did bloody A Chorus Line a few years ago.
I did.
Ago.
Yeah.
Shit.
I know.
Bucket list.
Oh, there you
Ticking.
Go. Tick the box.
Hey, guys, what's got you goat? What pisses you off?
People not giving me my coat. What pisses me off?
There's so many things. Like,
I've got road rage. But that's fine. I get terrible road rage.
Yeah.
And I've passed that on to Rowan in teaching him how to drive, I think.
Yeah, I mean, yes, all right, guys. Yeah, I got my license 2 years ago. What of it? I'm 30, turning 36 in 3 weeks.
Oh, sorry, did I bring that up?
Maybe I've got a little bit of, you know, road rage, you know, passed down.
Are you still
in
your P's?
You
have road rage on your P's.
Hey. Exactly, he's on the horn, guys, on the way home from Vic Roads. He honked someone.
But just so you know, I'm a very good driver.
So he tells me every day.
So, you know.
What's got you going?
Oh, God. The older I get,
just
people talking themselves up. Just don't get it. I don't. This social media has ruined us for worse. You know, like, it's just bad. We talk ourselves up. Everyone talks themselves up, and I just don't see the need for it.
Sure,
I could go into it, but I'm just going to stop there. There's a full stop.
Okay.
I'm amazing.
John, you've got my goat.
Hey, so this is very superstitious. We're kind of superstitious in the theatre. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any show rituals or things that you're really superstitious about?
When
you're in the theatre?
I don't, but I realised, like, on this show that I put on my costume the same way all the time.
On Strictly, yeah.
So it's not... But it's not like it's a habit. It's not like I go, oh, I have to do it like this. It's just that I have this system. And when my dresser was off earlier in the year and I had somebody else handing me my pants before my shirt, I was like, this is weird. And it's not like I went on stage going, oh, that was terrible because of this. But I realized that I'm very... structured in how I get ready for my show. I don't think I'm a very superstitious person at all. That would be the only kind of thing.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. On The Producers, Rowan used to get character from the walk from his dressing room to the stage, and he was playing a very gay character. And by the time he would get to my dressing room, I'd be like, oh my God. I'm not superstitious. I don't have any rituals. I basically turn up whatever goes. I'm not precious like that. But I do, if I happen to whistle backstage, even if I'm like, whatever, it doesn't matter, I still do the 3 spins, spit over the shoulder and swear. It's like, I don't even know why, but I just do it.
All right, well, this is called 5 things you can't live without. So let's make it 6 things you can't live without, and you get 3 each.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Ro, you go first.
Well, and it seems so wanky, but coffee. I love coffee. I love my records. And I love my wife, but that's
I'm glad that was third.
I mean, they're expecting me to say that. You know, what they want to hear is, like, my Jack in the Box.
Well, you do love your Jack in the Box.
So I'm going to say Jack in the Box, coffee and records.
Mine is my phone, I have to say. I'm a phone addict. You could have said that as well. Anyway. My phone, my bed, and a bath.
Yeah.
Can't live without a bath.
I rang you in Adelaide, remember? Yeah. And at the festival, and you were just in the bath, and we spoke for like an hour. Because I was like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm in the bath.
was
for
just,
the fifth time or something in 2 days.
Oh, God, yeah,
I had 10 baths in 3 days.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
Because the Intercontinental where they put you.
Oh, amazing.
The baths are just next
it's
level.
It's a deep bath.
Yeah.
I know, and I bought all these bath bombs as well. So it's just like living in a luxury pink bath bomb.
Hey, tell me collectively about a diva tanty. You've seen thrown or have thrown yourself in the theatre.
Apart from the one Rowan threw that day on Singing in the Rain when I did that funny thing.
I will never live that
You'll
down.
Never live it down.
In fact, she'll play this. Just that snippet so that I'll never live it down. A diva tanty. Have I thrown any diva? I probably have. I mean, you know, this is where you have people call in and go,
Have you ever
experienced a Rowan Brown diva tanty?
Or have you seen one? Like on the shows that you've done together, surely someone's had a bit of a moment.
Yeah, there was. I won't say a name, but there was an actress, an older actress, and the director made a jibe at her in a loving way, but on the rehearsal room floor, and we were all, Rowan was there as well, we're all on the floor, and she took him to town, and we all were terrified. Like, I was standing next to another actor. If I name them, then I'll give the cast away, but we grabbed onto each other, just terrified, watching this amazing diva do a takedown. It was good, wasn't it? I was scared.
Yeah. It was, but it was like literally, it wasn't a huge, it was one sentence.
Yeah.
That was it. That's all it took.
That's all it
took.
But
the whole air was sucked out of the room. It went cold. And like, we've never seen this director ever be lost for words. And he, she, it was very awkward.
I still think about it to this day. I love it.
Amazing. Who's your phone a friend? Who do you call? Is it just each other? If, you know, like your one-stop shop, if you're happy, you're sad, or you're angry, or you...
Yeah, I mean, we confide in each other, good, bad, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
My phone a friend would be Michelle Barr.
Yeah.
Because, we live in the same brain, and Lisa Campbell as well. She's like, they're like my two go-to phone a frienders, and... That's only if Rowan doesn't answer, of course.
And I always make sure I answer. my phone of friends, I guess I call Jordan Pollard a lot. I've got like a crew of boys like Jesse Rasmussen and Jordan and Nigel. But then I've got a mate of mine, Markham, who lives in Singapore. Like I've got 80 phone of friends. I just realised I was just rattling off my favourites list on my iPhone.
I wasn't mentioned.
No, I was getting to that, John. Yeah. So I wouldn't do this for everyone.
you are on my favourites list, though. Am I on yours?
Yeah, I don't have one. I don't have a favourites
list. Oh,
I see.
I don't
have one.
No, forget
hey,
it.
Hey, so showbiz, showmance, show crush. I don't really need to ask you guys that because you're obviously each other's.
We weren't each other's.
What do you mean?
Well, we weren't. Like, it didn't start that way.
It didn't start in a show.
I was just
but it would have if we had it worked
maybe,
together,
but
on.
This was funny because I was at a... I was doing an interview the other day. And
she's going to bring up someone else.
No, I said how funny that when... that a showmance is just a thing, a show crush, everyone knows it. But when you're married to someone in the industry, it goes from who's your show crush to who's your... Who is it? Who's your show crush? Tell me. I need to know because you know they exist. But when it's your partner, it's like... Because also you know that if you kiss someone on stage or whatever, you can enjoy it.
Yeah.
Can what you? Are you saying?
I'm saying that to watch, not for me, I'm saying to watch you kiss right. someone and you be like, oh, babe, it's just the job. I'm like, nah, okay. I know. I know.
Remember we had the show, we had the same show crush on, what was it, Forum. Because, I mean, anybody who works with Jerry Connolly is just, he's the best. And he was our show crush on that. Yeah, because he's just awesome.
A little crush.
Yeah, just a talent crush, you know.
Yeah.
I used to check you out in those pants and Singing in the Rain, John, let's be honest.
Apparently, someone told me that, it really enhanced my...
Oh, really?
Genitalia. Package.
Yeah, and these. After the fact, though, and I was like... I wish someone had told me.
I told you at the time.
Yeah, but someone else told me too.
Someone from the audience. Troubles.
Yes.
Well, John, I tried to warn
you. Someone that I was seeing at the time said that.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm, that ended well.
Genie in a bottle.
Genie grants you three wishes.
Ooh.
Together.
Oh, so we get one and a half wishes each.
Well, let's do four then, two each. What are your two wishes?
I want $18 million.
Why? But why? But like, wouldn't you just want like an unlimited amount?
I reckon 18's all right.
No, because you want to give a whole bunch away. You want to.
No,
give
because if it's unlimited, wishes, yeah, back off. And plus, well, if you get unlimited, people just come for days, won't they?
But they don't know that. Nobody knows.
Well, you'd probably tell them.
Maybe. Well, we've told them now, guys. If we find a genie, we've got unlimited money.
Oh my god!
All right.
Is that your only wish? You get two.
My other wish is cure for cancer.
Yeah.
World peace. Money's always the easy one to go to because it can afford you things that, you know, like you can look after your family, you can do so many things, but you've already said money. So, I mean...
Too slow.
Well, you can have that too.
You've got your 18 money, 18 million. I've got unlimited, so you can keep your 18
infinity.
Mil. Infinity. Oh God, this is actually really hard. I don't know.
What about? Would you ever want to choose like a to say I'll go to Hollywood or something like that?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, well, come up with your own wishes then.
you don't have to have any wishes. Maybe you're just happy.
I can't, can I, like, maybe I'll write a comment. If I think of something between now and when you've put it on Aussie Theatre, I'll just write a comment underneath saying I know what my wishes are now.
Okay, great.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Because at the moment...
You just say, well, that's nice, isn't it? He's happy.
He's not content. He just can't think of one.
He's definitely not content. No, it's you've taken the money path, and I guess
there's
it's
more to
like,
life.
Because he thinks he benefits from your 18 mil.
That's just for me. You ain't seen a dime.
Hey, switcheroo. So you guys can ask me a question. Do you want to ask me a question? Don't have to.
Mm, I do.
Ask
What's
away.
The question?
If you could play any role. Well, has someone already asked that?
I think something similar, but I get confused. Yeah, but keep going. Maybe it's different. Maybe if I could play any role.
In musical theatre.
Well, it would be not very classy of me to say one of them because I wasn't cast. Someone else was, and I wish him luck. No, he'll be fantastic. He will be. That sounds so...
No, he will be. Cut that.
Any role.
Mm.
I honestly don't know. It's a new role. It hasn't been written yet.
But you don't have to be right for it even.
Oh. Like I could be a woman even.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Velma.
Really?
Chicago. I don't know.
Why not?
I think of anything.
You'd be great, Velma.
Yeah.
I'd like to see you do the cartwheels in... what's her final number? But you can't do it alone, cartwheel.
Yes. I can't think of it.
Will you tuck or will you...
Nah.
Balls out.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a very nice package from the audience. So
I would love to play the Scarecrow and the Wizard of Oz. That's, I know that's naff, but I would.
What about, no, don't do the Wizard of Oz, do the Wiz.
Nah.
It's much better.
Yeah, because I'm not black, but I don't have to be black. So, yeah, okay, the Wiz in the Scarecrow in the Wiz.
The Wiz and the Wiz.
The Wiz and the Wiz. The Wiz
and, okay, my question. If there's anything that you could...
yeah, go.
He had another answer.
Oh, no, go
no, 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 I, no. I didn't. I was like, I was moving on to the next question. I didn't.
No, if there's any... If you had the opportunity to change something in your life, would you?
Yeah. I would. Yeah, I would. But I... But that's not... But that's not about me not being... not being closed off to it. It's just that it maybe hasn't happened yet. But yeah, I would change things in my life.
Any, but anything particular or that you would want to talk about?
nah, nothing in particular. But
if you can, you know, you can write under better. My comment. Yeah, and my
yeah,
wishes
yeah,
if,
yeah.
If it feels like
I don't need to bore our listeners with my woes.
10 minutes later, catching crying on the couch.
And then I'd change this.
No.
Hey, what's a secret skill that you do? You have a secret skill that none of us know about, Christy?
No.
No.
Ro?
Do I have a secret skill?
He's an amazing cook. He's an amazing.
Oh, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves because there's better cooks out there. But I don't do too bad.
I don't do too bad. Hey guys, this is called This or That. It's just 20 questions.
And you say this or that.
And you just tell me which one. But just say it together. So
okay.
We'll see if you how you agree. Sweet or savoury?
Savoury.
Savoury.
Dog or cat?
Cat. Dog.
Tea or coffee?
Tea.
Coffee.
Mum or dad?
Mum.
Black or white?
Black.
White.
In or out?
In.
In.
Walk or run?
Walk.
Yeah, walk.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Sydney or Melbourne?
Melbourne.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Wine?
Wine.
To both. Beer.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Salt or pepper?
Salt.
Boxes or briefs?
Briefs.
Oh, briefs.
Christmas or birthdays?
Oh, we share a birthday, so I guess we'd share Christmas as well. So, well, birthday means you're getting older, so I guess Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas.
Kisses or hugs?
Kisses.
Hugs.
Oh.
Hot or cold?
Hot.
Boy or girl?
Girl.
What? She man. Boy.
Mates or dates?
Dates.
Mates.
Whoa.
Day or night?
No.
His or hers?
His.
Me or you?
Me.
You.
I meant you.
I meant you. Mew.
That's a new sound of a cat.
Hey guys, we're coming to the very end of it, which it just goes too quick. So this is called Shameless Plug. So we're just going to plug everything that
all
three of us are working on. So... Interrupt me if I'm wrong. Nice Work If You Can Get It.
Yes.
Presented by the production company is playing from the 15th to the 23rd of August.
Yeah.
At the State Theatre.
Only in Melbourne.
In Melbourne, yep. Yeah. Tickets available through ticketmaster.com.au. Mm-hmm. Strictly Ballroom, which Rowan is appearing in, and will be doing in Melbourne, and then we'll be doing the Brisbane,
yep.
Is playing in Brisbane from September and in Melbourne until...
Till August 26th.
Great.
Wednesday, August 26th.
And tickets are available, or all the ticket details are available
all
through their website.
With their website.
Strictlyballroomthemusical.com.
Aye.
Show people.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird how I put that emphasis on show people. Mm. It's just called show people.
Some people.
Well, yeah.
Show people.
Show people.
Show people is playing the Chapel of Chapel. Awesome venue. August 3?
Yep.
One night only.
Yep, Monday.
Tickets available through chapeloffchapel.com.
For Chapel
of Chapel. Chapeloffchapel.com.au. As is Dedications, is playing Chapel of Chapel 14th and 15th of August. And then we're going to Perth, downstairs at the Madge, the 20th to the 22nd of August. And then we're going to GPAC, 28th to 29th of August. And all our ticket details are available via our Facebook page if you just Google or just Facebook search Dedications. Hey, Rowan and Christy are both on the social media.
Yes.
So
I know. Get out. Follow us up here.
Get your fans.
Yeah.
Rowan's Instagram is at Rowan Brown.
Rowan M. Yeah.
Rowan M. Brown with an E.
M for Montgomery, in case you were wondering.
Oh, there you go. And your Twitter is
Man Knew Too Much.
Yeah. Why is that?
Well, it was, I don't know, it came up, to, like, the Twitter you know, Christy encouraged me to join. I was like, oh, who wants to hear my thoughts in 140 or 160 characters? I was like, oh, the man who knew too much. Let's listen to that. And then I was like, oh, okay, well, there's my handle. So
Dunskies.
Yeah.
And except also,
that
like,
actually fit in the thing, so I had to cut the and who. So it was just man knew too much.
We didn't talk about it, but you've got a fashion accessories label too called His
Yeah, I'm a
himself.
Big fashion mogul.
Yeah.
But
you've got great stuff. Bow ties, kerchiefs, ties.
Yeah, you just saw the new samples
I
we've
did.
Got for winter.
So if you want to look at what Roey's got, he's
yeah.
on Instagram at underscore his handsome self.
For Instagram, yeah.
Underscore, and then Twitter is just his handsome self.
Yeah.
But this will all be on the information page. Christy Whelan Brown.
Mm-hmm.
She's on Twitter and Instagram. Instagram is just Christy Whelan Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And Twitter is...
Christy Whelan.
Underscore Whelan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It'll be on the thing. Of course, my details, John James O'Hara. Keep the feedback coming. I'll always use the hashtag TicketA42. And if you want to hear more or other of the interviews, you can go to the aussietheatre.com.au/TicketA42 website, or you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Big thank you to you all for listening. Roey and Christy and I are going to take a very quick selfie.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Click. Hey guys, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for
Johnny.
Us.
That was so fun.
We love you, Johnny.
It was good. We love you.
We
Johnny.
Love you too. I love you too. We, me and my,
yeah.
And my shadow.
Me and my shadow. Thanks guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
This podcast was produced by Matt Edwards for AussieTheatre.com.